Rain kept the dust down. Nothing else in Washington did, especially in early summer, when the heat started coming on and dirt in the streets began the slow broil that led into August. Fiona would hate that rain was already lashing the leather on his new boots. She was practical in these matters. But even Fiona would admit that rain kept the dust down. Temple would rather be with Fiona now, instead of gimping toward a train to fetch Augustus and Pint. The small rain down can rain. Christ, that my love were in my arms, and I in my bed again. As he crossed D Street on New Jersey Avenue, he could see the dome of the new Capitol building looming beyond and above the 70-foot Italianate clock tower that marked the B&O railroad station. If the rain got worse, New Jersey would get rutted, and rats the size of dogs would slop in the puddles and pick through the garbage floating there. Several carriages and a string of horses, far more horses than usual, were tied to posts in front of the station. Union troops, boys mostly, were milling about in their blues. Weary little boys with swords and rifles and blank stares. Today they seemed slightly frenzied. Then again, everyone was close to conniption fits, with Lincoln dead only a month. Shot. Dead, just like that. The tired man, the calm one, the seer. Dead. Dead, tired. Gone. At the corner of C Street, the rain picked up and lashed Temple's face as hard as it whipped his boots. A lashing, the Dublin priests and nuns had told him, was salutary. Salutary, Temple. Good for you. Then, smack. Fear the Lord, learn your grammar, and obey the rules of the orphanage. If you didn't obey, smack. Pain, they thought, was an education in its own right. They knew hardly a thing about it, really. He had pain every day in his bad leg, small flashes he tried to ignore. When the pain got bad, occasionally very bad, he just leaned more heavily on his cane. Fiona could look in his face and know the singe was about to arrive in his leg. But then Fiona looked in his face and saw everything. Temple ducked beneath the B&O's eaves to get out of the rain. He entered the depot and glanced at the ticket and freight offices set opposite each other inside the station. A small group of women were huddled and chatting outside the ladies' waiting room, while three men, their arms wrapped across one another's shoulders, pressed toward the gentleman's saloon. Temple looked beyond the entry hall to the car house, where the train to Baltimore waited. The railroad tracks cut diagonally through the car house, sheltered by a dozen granite pillars that supported an iron roof with a 300-foot-long glass window set inside it. Rainwater smeared the glass. Even the sky can't stop mourning the president, Temple thought. The B&O tracks continued through the station, winding along C Street and First Street before crossing the mall in front of the Capitol, picking up Maryland Avenue, and making their way to the Long Bridge. Virginia was beyond the Long Bridge. Baltimore and New York were the opposite way. Temple scanned the platform near the Baltimore train. There. There now. There's something unusual. Stump Tigani, the most deliberate capper in the district, was actually off his heels and in a rush. Stump's always a surprise, Temple thought. Amid the Union blues, the black long coats, and the crenellated, bell-blossomed hoopskirts of passengers waiting to board the train to Baltimore, Stump, small, muscular, and flinty, was darting along. Like every newly minted Washington police detective, you mean defective, Fiona would laugh. You have a limp and a cane, my love. You're a police defective. Temple was well aware of Stump's calling card. Courier for Northern spies on the Union Army during the war, may have taken money from Secesh when it suited him. Connected and resourceful. Inscrutable. Dangerous. Very dangerous.